If you would, going to look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. And it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen. Amen. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may find, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So today I want to use for a subject, come on, amen. Amen, come on, amen. That is what I was led to use on this particular verse. And it's been bothering me for a while, so I needed to hurry up and get it taken care of, although I was not finished with the last message concerning Abraham. But that's what the word of the Lord says. Let us come boldly, amen, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. So the subject that we're using is come on. Amen. Because it's one thing to have enough, but it's another thing to have more than enough. And because of that, basically, all we need to do is just keep coming. All we need to do is just move forward. All we need to do is to just come on. Amen. When I think about coming, to come means to move or to travel forward, to come. Amen. Although the text says, come and not go, it is still understood to mean that we need to be coming to Jesus. And that is something that is very important that we understand. He says that I want you to come. And what we also need to understand is that God seeks to have us to come. And that is so important because we are living in a time when we have not all come to Christ. And so that's why the challenge today, and for various reasons. Amen. So it means to come. It means to move or travel forward. And the aim of our sermon is for us not to let our mistakes, amen, separate us from God. Amen. That's the aim of the sermons. For us not to let our mistakes separate us from God. Because the things that are important in life, we should not allow ourselves to become separated from. To become separated can yield some bad consequences when you start talking about separation. Amen. I think about that when I think about stray animals that wander off, or wildebeest that wander off from the pack. And if they're not careful, it can end up being a disastrous situation. Straying. I think about spouses that if you're not careful, there are things that can cause you to become separated. Amen. It may be something simple, separate bedtimes, amen, separate eating times, snoring, anything that can, if you're not careful, weave its way into between the relationship. And what will happen is separation occurs. Amen. And we have to make sure that we don't get separated. When I think about sin, somebody said sin will keep you away from the Bible. You may have heard that, or the Bible will keep you away from sin. So we have to even watch sins that try to slip in that allow us to become separated from our God. Amen. Because sin does separate us. And so with that being said, we also need to recognize that the things that we love the most, we value. And if we value it, then we will strive to make sure that we don't become separated from it. And God is saying to us that I don't want you to become separated from me. And so we need to strive to not be separated from our God. Amen. And so as we think about that, this chapter has a lot of what J. Vernon McGee calls lettuce in it. Amen. Amen. You got lettuce in verse 1. You got lettuce in verse 11. You got lettuce in verse 14. You got lettuce in verse 16. You got lettuce in chapter 12, verse 1. Lettuce. But that does not mean that this text is doesn't have any meat in it. But it just simply says, let us. We know that Israel's problem in chapter 3 and verse 19 was simply one of unbelief. God had blessed Israel to obtain the land, but we know that although occupancy was free, we know that although ownership was free, occupancy was a challenge. God gave them the land, but then to stay in the land would require obedience. Amen. God can give us something, but, you know, he said, the land is yours. I have given it and promised it to Abraham. Mm-hmm. But then to stay in the land, to stay free, would simply mean to walk in obedience. Amen. Easy to obtain, but difficult to maintain. So he says that, and then the writer says that he's afraid that this may even happen to us. And he says that in verse number one, he says, let us fear lest a promise being given to us that we not be able to enter the rest. Amen. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about if we're not careful, the same thing that happened to Israel can happen to us. We can have the Christian life, but still not enjoy the Christian life. So he says, now this same thing can happen to us. And he said, the problem was, if you're not careful, is you'll miss it. And that's what happened. Israel missed out. And we find out that they missed out, amen, simply because they missed it because they didn't mix it. In verse 2, it says that the gospel was preached unto us, you know, it was preached unto Israel, but because they did not mix it, then they were not able to obtain victory. In essence, is what happened is Israel missed it, and the writer is concerned that let us fear. Let's be concerned about it. Let's let's be careful that what happened to Israel does not happen to us. Amen. He says that what happened was that God had blessed them, but they did not move forward by faith. Amen. They allowed themselves to miss out. And so he says that let us also fear, lest the promise left us, amen, that we too miss out, basically, in verse number 2. He tells us that in verse number 11, he lets us know, he says that let us labor so that we may be able to enter the rest. Amen. God is saying here that we've got to make sure that doubt and discouragement and depression and things like that does not happen to us. Amen. He says, let us labor. It's going to take some work, is what he's saying. It's going to take some effort. You're going to have to stay focused and to be strong in your faith. We will have to stay firm in our faith. He says, let us labor to enter into the rest, because what happened if you're not careful is that you will find that you will fall in the, they fell in the wilderness. Amen. They fell in the wilderness. They got up to the blessing that God had given them, but because of their lack of faith, because of their unbelief, it cost them 40 more years on a trip that would have took 11 days, according to Deuteronomy 1 verse 2, I think. I didn't look that up. But the thing is that an 11-day trip can take you 40 years. And the reason why is simply because of unbelief. And so we have to strive to make sure that, and don't think, he wants us to know that we cannot fool God. Like some think that this statement is eschatological or future, meaning that God will bless us, the works of our hands, that entering to the promised land is about being saved, but working in the promised land means that a Christian gets saved and he go to work for the Lord and he gets blessed by the Lord for the work he's done. Of course, the Bible is very deep. You can dig in many different areas, but contextually, what he's letting us know here is that we are to experience the rest that God has given us, and we may not experience it simply because we won't labor. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We won't work to enter the rest. Amen. He says that I want you to enter. I want you to enter the rest. And he says that Israel is an example. And this is more of a long introduction here. Amen. Make this two parts, but he says Israel here is an example of what we should not do in life. Amen. We should not do is we should not receive, get saved, and not experience the blessing that comes with salvation. We should not just become Christians, but not receive the blessings of God and the rest and the peace and the joy that comes from walking in obedience, from working for him, from walking in his will. We should not allow ourselves, amen, because that's what causes unrest, is disobedience and unbelief, amen, not being walking in his will. You have to ask yourself, how is it that somebody can become a Christian and still live a jacked up life? How is it that you can become saved and still not experience the joy of salvation? Because we choose from that point not to walk according to his word and according to his will. How is it that we can receive a promise and then not experience the blessings of the promise? God says to us that I want you to labor lest ye, you fall. Work hard to fight against unbelief, lest you fall in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel. Amen. And he says that make sure to understand that God is not fooled either. He says God can tell if you in fact are walking and working with the right motive. Amen. God can tell if we are walking and working with the right motive, because it's good, it's easy to look the part, but all at the same time, not really be the part. And what the writer wants us to know is that God is not fooled. And he says that the word of God in verse number 12, amen. He talks about the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. Piercing even unto the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. God is looking. God is watching. God knows if we are, or if our work is motivated by our love for him, that it is coming from a pure heart. And so God tells us that I want you to labor and know that God is watching you. God's word is quick, it's alive, it's dynamic, it is always doing something. God's word, and I'll try to speed this up, because God's word is not dormant, is not static. God's word is dynamic. God's word is living. When God's word is preached, it does something. You can't get away from the word of God. When God examines us, there's no way that you can get off or trick or fool God. He says that the word of God is quick, it's alive, it's not dead. It's the word of God is real. It's quick, it's powerful. That means that it is effective. The word of God accomplishes its purpose. The word of God makes progress. When it gets ready to do something, there's no way that you can get on the witness stand and get off, because God's word, it will cut to the quick. It says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It tells the truth about everything and everybody. It gets into everybody's business. It says it's like a sword. It's a double-edged sword. It cuts going and it cuts coming. Amen. The word of God, when it'll cut you and then it'll cut me while it's coming down. It'll cut everybody. The word of God does not leave anybody out. It does not leave anybody off. And that is what it takes for our hearts to be what they need to be. They have, in order to have surgery, amen, you got to have a sharp knife. And God said that he divides between the soul and the spirit. Amen. He can tell whether your soulish being stopping your a spirit being starts, which is very, very, by many, impossible to do. But the word of God can get all off into our business. And if you try to get away out from under the word of God, it's so sharp until it can find out, go down to the deep parts of the body. It can get all off in separating the soul from the spirit, the joints and the marrow. Amen. The Bible says that God can get all, he can dissect us and do surgery on our hearts in a way that we cannot walk away fooling him. We won't be able to trick God in our labor, in our work. God knows our motive. And it even says that the Bible is a discerner. It can tell. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows what we're thinking. And not only does God know what we're thinking or planning, but God also knows what we're plotting. It says God knows what we intending to do. Amen. Have you ever been doing something and then you was up to something and you didn't think nobody knew it? Amen. You were just doing something that fooled everybody else. But God knows our intent. He knows the motive. He gets down off into our business and no one can get away. The Bible says, amen, that we are all naked before God in verse number 13. Amen. Our life is like an open book. Neither can anyone get away from God. Amen. Our lives are wide open, naked unto God. We come to God completely without any covering. Amen. With him with whom we have to do. The one that we must give an account to, God knows us. God is the one who is examining us. And he's quick. Amen. He's alive. He's paying attention. He's like not like a piece of a lifeless wood or a something that didn't have life in it. God is a person. He is the word of God is quick and powerful. Amen. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. And it is a discerner. Amen, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ultimately, we cannot get away from God. And so what we find here is that God is telling us and teaching us that we have to make sure that what we do is pleasing in his sight. Amen. Amen. And you can't fake it. You can't fool him. You can't trick him. Amen. God is the kind of a God that cannot be tricked. He cannot be fooled. Amen. God is the surgeon. And notice as I move forward is at the end of verse number 12, he talks about the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so God is, what he's doing is he is examining the motives in our hearts. And he knows if we really love him. We knows if we're really genuine and sincere about our service and about our work. And he says that we ought to labor, amen, to enter the rest, amen. And so what we find here basically is that the Hebrew writer, we may come back to verses 14 and 15 later, but the Hebrew writer tells us in this text, he says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, amen, that we may obtain mercy and that we may find grace to help in time of need, amen. This is amazing. So the first thing we want to point out is that the abolished priesthood. Amen. The abolished priesthood. Because notice what he said. He said, let us come boldly. Amen. He didn't say the priests. He said, but let us. Amen. How many of y'all know that God has made us a kingdom of priests? Amen. When you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, it tells us that God has he said made us kings and priests, but he made us a kingdom of priests. In God's kingdom, everyone can go to God. He says, let us, amen. The priesthood has been abolished, and he says that because what we must understand here is that access has been granted. Amen. And it's because of Jesus that the access has been granted. Amen. Because in verse number 14, it talks about Jesus and it tells us about we have a priest, you know, he's one who has not been, he's one that's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. 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 We have a high priest that has, the Bible says, passed up into the heaven. Now this is a great high priest. Amen. This is one that is not like the other priests. This is a priest that has passed up into the heavens. Amen. We have this type of a priest that has passed on up into the heavens. He's not on the earth like the other priest. Amen. This is a great high priest. Amen. We know about the high priest, but this is a great high priest. And he says, because of that, let us hold on to our profession. Amen. Let us hold on to what we believe in. Amen. Amen. Let us hold tightly, firmly to what we believe in. Amen. Believe in God. Have faith in God. Hold on to God. He says, you need to hold it tightly. Amen. Because this priest is a priest that is the great high priest, and he has granted us the opportunity to be priests. He's a priest that has not been, he's not a priest which cannot be touched, in verse 15, with the feelings of our infirmities. But he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Amen. That's the kind of priest that we have. That's the kind of priest that you and I have. He's not a priest that cannot be touched. He knows, he understands us. He's the kind of a priest that understands. Amen. Amen. He's an understanding priest because he has walked in our shoes. When he came down and became a human being, he also walked in our shoes. And so therefore now he can sympathize with us. Amen. I would say empathize, but he wasn't he never sinned. But the Bible says that he was without sin. Amen. And so Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's the great high priest, and he made us priests, not high priests. Now he's the great high priest, but we're still priests. We have an opportunity God. Amen. Amen. That is the reason why, is because of the priest. Now notice what he says. Now we've got to understand that he says, let us draw near or come. The word come there really means to draw near. Although it says come, it means let us come or draw near to the throne of God.